70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotan. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
If you would turn with me to the book of Revelation, or the revelation of John, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 6, we'll look at verse number 9, and we will try to finish this chapter. Now, on Thursday night, we had a lesson, a pretty good lesson on the seals. And I was going to preach something else this morning, but I just couldn't get this out of my heart and out of my mind. And so I know that some people came for me to tell them it's going to be all right, but you ought to know it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. I just want to let you know again, if you don't know, but it's going to be all right. Amen. The trials come on every hand. You ought to feel like going on, because it's going to be okay. Amen. Maybe you hadn't had anybody tell you that. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want you to know that in spite of what you're going through, all is well, and it shall be all right. Amen. Now, you've been told that, and let's go into the word. Amen. Amen. Verse number 9 of chapter number 6, out of the book, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you have it, say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed and scroll as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Want to use for a thought this morning. I had the first thing is that who shall be able to stand? With a subtitle, preserving of the saints and the punishment of the sinner. Amen. Who shall be able to stand? And I want to, before this message is over, I want to let you know who shall be able to stand. Amen. Amen. The book Revelation, we've been studying and we've been going through this and we've made it to the sixth chapter. If you haven't been to Bible study, and if you can make it, and I asked those questions on last week for those of you who wrote down why you don't come, I appreciate your honesty. And for those of you who said I do come, and I'm glad I do, I appreciate that encouragement. But the book of Revelation, again, is written by John the Revelator. He was put on an isle called Patmos in his punishment for preaching the gospel. And just to let you know that I don't care who you are, there is a persecution that will come to you if you hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be people that the devil will fill their hearts and minds to punish or to persecute you, all because you hold the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can try to avoid it by not saying anything, but the Bible said you'll be just like a city set up on a hill. You won't be able to hide the Christ that is in you. Amen. Sometimes it may come out when they make you angry, when they talk about how they talk about Jesus being false, or they say something false about Jesus. Then you'll speak up and say something. The world is getting to the place where Christians are the ones that are going to be picked on. It's not going to be as easy as we think, and it's not going to be as easy as it was in the past to be a Christian, because there is a time of persecution. And so John was persecuted and he was isolated because of what he believed. And if you can't see the handwriting on the wall by now, you need to know that Christians are being isolated because of what we believe. You can be a Muslim and you can believe and do and practice your religion and nobody will say anything. They will defend you if somebody tried to say something. You can be a Jew, or you can be a Hindu, or a Buddhist, and nobody will bother you, but you say that you're a Christian, and then they have an issue with you immediately. In other words, they begin to isolate you, and they begin not to trust you and not to like you, all because of what you believe. Amen. You can pray, and you can do anything at work. You can do it at school, but if you're a Christian and tried, then there's a problem. Come on and say amen. Amen. And so there's a problem in the land. There's a problem not only in the land, but there's a problem in the world, because people are even being persecuted now. They're getting their heads cut off. They're being bombed. And while they're at church, imagine somebody just taking a bomb and blowing the church up while we're in here trying to worship. That's happening right now all around the world. So who shall be able to stand? And that's the question on today. But when John began to talk, he's given us a glimpse. And I said on Thursday that this is after the book that God has in his hand is extended and the Lamb comes and he begins to open up the seal. And the power of the book is so powerful that when the seals are loose, then things begin to happen. Things begin to play out right in front of John's eyes. He began to see on the big screen the things that were going to happen. Now, a lot of this is not in chronological order, but it's allowing John to see what's going to happen so that he can let us know what's going to happen and warn us and get us to a place where I feel at peace regardless of what's going to happen, because God said it would happen. Amen. Amen. And so that's just the sovereignty of God. And so in verse 9, he says when he got to, and up until this point, let me point out that we've opened up the seals here, and Christ has opened up the seals, and you had four riders come out on horses. First rider is the Antichrist. Then you had one that came out, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. And all of these brought destruction either on the economy or destruction on the people. It got to a point to where a fourth of the people in the earth died. Now, what does that mean? That means that out of 6 billion people, that what we got approximately right now, out of 6 billion people, you had nearly 2 billion people dead. That's something. Now, there's a whole lot of people. That's a whole lot of people. Now, when we look at this fifth seal, it says, and he had opened the what? Fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. So now we look at the place of the slain. The place of the slain. They were at the altar. Look at this. Even though they had been slain, God had a place and he positioned them at the altar. And how do we relate to this? Because sometimes we are persecuted and we are slain spiritually. We're slain by our characters going through attacks and things like that. But where do we need to apply? We need to put ourselves, we need to go and we need to pray. We need to approach the altar. Now, what does the altar represent? The altar is the place of sacrifice. Amen. So we need to go in the place of sacrifice. We need to get to a place of prayer. Amen. They were at the altar. And then when the fifth seal was opened, after he had saw all the destruction of the earth, all of the things that were going to happen and how it was going to be so bad that John said it's just so awful that I don't see how any good thing can come from this. And then all of a sudden he sees the fifth seal open and he sees at the altar, under the altar, the souls of them which were slain. And notice why they were slain. They were slain because of the word of God. I know it's going to be quiet today, but I'm prepared for that. They were slain because of the word of God. The Bible even tells us that Jesus said the soul went to sow. And he said that immediately after the seed was sown, that the enemy or the devil came to choke it up and attacked where the place that it was sown. You are the soil in which God plants the seed of the word. And guess what? The devil comes to destroy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to choke it up so that you can't find your place in God, so that you can't find the peace of God, so that you can't find the prosperity of God. He does not want you to find your place. He does not want you to know who you are in God. He don't want you to position yourself in God. So he comes to choke it up. And he attacks you not because you've been so good. Not because you're so sanctimonious. You can do some bad stuff and have the word on the inside of you and the devil still attack you. Preach. You can have the word of God on the inside of you and not do everything you're supposed to do. But because the word is that, the devil would not rest until he's choked it up out of you. He attacks because of the word of God. Tell your neighbor, he attacks you because of the word. But not only because of the word, but look at this, and for the testimony that they held. I know we don't like to testify. We don't want to say, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to let it be. But guess what? If you even hold a testimony, he said the devil comes to attack you anyway. If God has brought you through anything, if God has delivered you from anything, if God has blessed your life, healed your body, delivered you, set you free, touched your loved ones, saved your children, if he's done anything in your life, guess what? The enemy is going to try to destroy you because he don't want the testimony. Let me show you how. The Bible says that the Jews were upset with Jesus and they wanted to kill him, but he had a friend named Lazarus that they had dinner one evening and they wanted to kill Lazarus too because Lazarus was a testimony of what God could do. And guess what? You are just like Lazarus. You are the friend of Jesus. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. You are a friend of God. And since you're his friend, since you're Abraham's seed by faith, he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out. And so you can't avoid it because you're by association under attack because you're associated with him. Look at that. I know some of you say, well, I ain't all that associated, but you're here today, you're associated. So the enemy wants to destroy you, and there's a place for those that were slain. They were under the altar, and they were there because of they were persecuted, and they were slain. And we understand that when they were slain, that they went through a martyrdom. And we got to understand what that means. That means they were witnesses. The word witness in the Greek is the word martyr. And what that means is that they had to go through some hard times, and they were killed and destroyed because of their belief. I know we can't really fathom and understand that right now, but let me tell you something. It's real. It's happening in the 21st century. Amen. And so we need to know that because of the testimony that they held, they were slain. But there was a place for them. Amen. There was a place for them. And we see this type of, we see that people have this testimony, and we see this type of persecution all over the world. We haven't experienced it so much yet in America, just little places and little pieces of it. If you look at what happened in Charleston, you know, they talk about, well, this boy had, he had hate in his heart and he wanted to kill some black people. No, why didn't he just go to the corner? Why didn't he just go under the tree? Why didn't he go to a school? But he went to a church. And why did he do that? Because of what they believed. They talked to him. They prayed with him. They had the love of God in them. And he decided to take their life because of what they believed. My God. So it says, and I don't want to be too long, but we see here, at this is the prelude to a great and serious persecution, because look at verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge the blood of them that dwell on the earth? And look at this. They didn't say, you know, when you're going to avenge the certain color people that persecuted us, or the certain country of people that persecuted us. They said, them that dwell on the earth. What does that mean? That means that we're in trouble because everybody in the earth is not going to like us. My God, today. And you know what's real bad? You better watch out, because the fastest growing religion is the Islamic religion right now. And I'm not saying all of them are bad, but what I'm saying is that there are people in that religion that are jihadists, and they're looking to kill the infidels. And then you know who the infidels they're talking about? You. They're talking about the ones that don't believe that Muhammad was the last prophet. Those that don't believe that they need to worship and do the things that they do, the type of worship and the religion that they have. Amen. And so this is the prayers of the saints. What were they, what they really wanted? They said, Lord, they cried with a loud voice. They cried out to God and they said, how long, O Lord, holy and true? They cried out to him, and their prayer was not that they wanted not that they just wanted God to go destroy, but they wanted God to do what he said he would do when they suffered for him. Amen. He said that he was going to avenge them. And so they only wanted God to do what he said they would do. They wasn't trying to manipulate God like some of us do. When people do something we don't like, we try to manipulate God to whoop them and punish them and show them, and God do it to them and hurt them. God, show them that you real and stuff. They wasn't looking at that, but this was truly, they had been martyred, and so they were truly saying, God, you said that you were going to avenge us. You said that you were going to bring your wrath out upon them. So how long is it going to be? Oh, come on and say amen. And you know, because God is right and God is true, and God can't lie. Look at this. He said, they said, how long, Lord, holy and true? God is righteous. God is true. He said, how long is that you don't judge, avenge the blood of them that dwell on avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? What was he saying? They were letting him know, God, we recognize you as holy. We recognize you as right. We recognize you as the truth. But we also recognize you as the judge. And sometimes people forget that God is the judge. God already said what he's going to say. God already judged it. Oh, come on and say amen. The verdict has been set. It's time. You know, it's just like this. When the judge give a sentence and he tells you you're going to be sentenced to whatever, and he says on this date, that's when you report to jail. That's what God is saying. The devil already got his place, but on this day, he's going to go to hell. Wish I had somebody. You got some people who think that God is not looking and God don't know, but I used to hear the old people say God is looking and he's booking. In other words, God knows what's going on. God sits high and he looks low. God does not sleep nor slumber. He understands and knows what's happening. He's not ignorant of the things that are happening in our lives. He knows exactly what's happening, but what we got to do is not be ignorant to the point that God, and know that God is sovereign. Amen. He's sovereign. And so they were saying, God, in your sovereign will, you said that you will avenge them, and we want you to avenge them. And God, in his patience, God, in his long suffering, look at this. God says in verse number 11, and white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also, their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Look at what happened here. God is patient. God, the patience of our Savior, the patience of God is so powerful, because when he's patient and long-suffering, the Bible says that he gives every man a space and time to repent. Here's your time. Here's your space. Right now, while you yet live, that's your space and time to repent. God, the Bible says, it is not God's will that man should perish, but he wants us all to be saved and come into eternal life. Come on and say amen. And so he gives us all a space and time to repent. There will be salvation for the folks who are left in the tribulation, but guess what? They'll get salvation and they're going to be killed. Come on and say amen. Why will they be killed? They're going to be killed because they confess the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in their life. Come on and say hallelujah. And so even though we think that we got time, even though we think that, oh, I'll get saved later on, even though we think that I'll get it together once I get myself together, and that's the worst lie people can lie to themselves about, is that when I get myself together, I'm going to go back to church and I'm going to do what God said. You can't get yourself together. It takes God to get you together. And even when you say, well, look, I did this and I did that, you could not have done it without the Lord. In John chapter 15, he said that we can do nothing without Jesus. We can't even wake up in the morning without him. We can't even open our mouth and have sound and breath without him. We can't even think without him. The Bible said it is in him we live, move, and have our being. Do I have anybody here that understand that the only way I can live, move, and have my being, the only way that I can make it is if God, if Jesus Christ allows me to make it. He's sovereign. He's in control. He is the God of God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he's patient. He's more patient than we are. Look, the saints were in heaven and they were under the altar and they wanted him to move right then. Sometimes that's the way we are. We want God move right now. Even now, Lord. Oh, Lord, now Jesus. We want God to move right now. But God said, I have patience and long-suffering. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, is my ways from yours. So we don't understand how God's going to do it and when he's going to do it. But we need to act like he's about to do it. Just like those saints. They were in heaven and saying, God, do it now. But God said, I want to get them saved. And he left 144,000 Jews, people who were of Israel. He left them to evangelize the world, and through their evangelism, there is a multitude that cannot be numbered that's going to be saved, but they won't last very long because when they get saved, they're going to die. And notice what he said. He said that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And so I don't understand, because I'm in this flesh, I don't understand as God does. And I'm saying, God, you ordain or you allow and you letting this happen. You're allowing them to be killed. And this doesn't seem good. Do you know that in God's will, there's some things that don't seem right to us, but in God's will, it ought to be all well with our soul. Come on and say amen. There are going to be some people killed. And you know what? If you keep having children, some of those people are going to be your children and your children's children. But you need to make sure that they are saved. You need to make sure that there's a Christian in the house to be able to tell them who God is. You need to make sure that somebody knows how to pray. Now, we can't be coming to church and we don't know how to pray. We can't be coming in here. Come on and say amen. Like Sister Nettie said, I ain't going to go to hell from the church. I'm going to learn how to pray. I'm going to learn how to get his word. I'm going to learn how to apply his word. I'm going to live the life that God wants me to live. I may not be perfect, but I'm determined to live the way God wants me to. Do I have anybody in here that say, who shall be able to stand? I'm going to be able to stand because I'm going to stand in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going to be killed. And it's God's will for them to be killed. Boy, that's hard to understand, isn't it? It's God's will for them to die. But how else can we get to heaven? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lest we die. You can't. Is flesh. The Bible says flesh and blood glory not. Flesh glory not in the presence of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know what we shall be, but we'll look like him. Notice what God did. He gave them white robes. Who else do the Bible say wear a white robe?
is Jesus Christ. They're dressed like him because they went through just like him. That's why Paul said, I want to know him. He said, all the things that I've achieved ain't nothing but dung, ain't nothing but shubalah, ain't nothing but mess compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. Do I have anybody that say, I want to know him? And sometime getting to know God means you got to suffer sometime. You got to go through some things sometime. You have to have take a loss sometime. You have to have some things that happen in your life that's unfavorable. But you got to understand that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God is going to allow us to be glorified. Oh, come on and say amen. Even though we suffer, even though I go through trials and tribulation, God is going to allow me to be glorified. Hallelujah. God is patient. He's long-suffering. Let's go on. He says in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, the fifth seal has been done. Now, the fifth seal, we always talk about the number five, it's number of grace. It's grace for those who believe in Jesus Christ. But the sixth seal is the number of, number six is the number of man, and here's the sixth seal, and God is about to deal with mankind. That's why he said the number of the Antichrist is 666. When man becomes complete, the number six is man. Three times means completion. When man becomes complete in himself, when he says, I don't need God, he's complete in himself. That is the Antichrist. He does it without God, or attempts or says he does. Now he said, I beheld, and when the six opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Look at this here. He's saying that look at the perils that we're going to face. He said, first you're going to face an earthquake. This is the third earthquake that is mentioned. But we got to understand that this earthquake is so bad that it shakes things to the point that the sun looks black as sackcloth. And what does that mean? That means that the sun goes in mourning because of how bad it is. My God, today. That means, look at this. That means that the sun gets so dark and has sackcloth that there will be no warmth on the earth. What warms us up? What keeps us from being like the other cold planets that don't have life? The sun. What causes us to be able to grow, to live? What keeps you from being depressed? If you're depressed, go out and get you some vitamin D. Go out and get in the sun, right? The sun keeps you up when you're feeling down. The sun is what gives the vegetation what it needs to be able to grow. When it gets warm in the spring, your grass and your flowers start to bloom. Stuff you don't want in your yard start to grow. Right? Because of the warmth of the sun. And so we don't have that. When the earthquake hits, we don't have the warmth of the sun. No vegetation. And if there's no vegetation, you can't feed the animals. There ain't no steaks. Ain't no horses, no cows. Ain't no chickens. Ain't no vegetation. Ain't no animals. There's a great famine that's going to hit the land. Lord, help me today. I'm trying to warn you, trying to get you to see where we are, trying to get you to see what's happening. Amen. Well, if we don't get it together, who shall be able to stand this? The sun becomes dark as sackcloth. No warmth, no growth, no vegetation, no food. And look at this. He says that the moon becomes as blood. Amen. The moon becomes as blood. The moon drips as blood, or becomes as blood, becomes, as they call it, a blood moon, a red moon. It looks as the color of blood. Now, what I don't understand is that the only way the moon gets any light is because of the sun. The only thing the moon reflects is the light of the sun. And so the moon turns to blood. That means that it's going to be something so bad happen that it seems as though there's going to be something that covers the moon and it appear to be blood. That's bad. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Do you know what that means? That means there'll be no light. There be no navigation. What am I saying? I'm saying that you can't find your way. You can't see your way, and it'll be too late. You won't be able to see your way. You won't be able to see the light. You won't be hollering, this little light of mine. You won't have no light. There's no revelation. There's no inspiration. There's none of that. There's no manifestation. Who shall be able to stand the perils? The stars fell as a fig tree casted her untimely figs as she is shaken by a mighty wind. In other words, the stars are pulled out of their sockets. Hallelujah. And then the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. Then you won't even be able to see the sky. It's just darkness. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody here. We don't have time to waste, children. We don't have time to waste. We patty caking with the devil. We think that this life is a playground. It is a battleground. And we have to fight. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner as hard as those who are holding up the Confederate flag. They ready to fight for their flag. Are you ready to fight for yours? The bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ? My Lord, today. And the heavens departed as a scroll rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Woo. In other words, everything was shook up. There was no stability in the earth. Nothing stable. There's no security in the earth. You know what a security is? The